now entering a new forum to discuss reality, not illusion. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live with your Watchman of the Night Skies, Ronnie McMullen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of UFO Encounters Live, and I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. Tonight, another abductee, and his name, Jesse H. Long. His website is www.jessehlong.com. We're going to go into Jesse's abduction and find out, again, it seems to be the same with abductees around the age of 4, 5, or 6 years old. And Jesse's no different, 5 years old, abducted. Abducted for what? Why? Why are these victims being taken at such an early age? We'll find out. My guest, Jesse Long. Jesse, welcome to UFO Encounters Live. How you doing, my friend?
Fine. Thanks for having me.
I am honored. You have not been on the show before, and it's always interesting to find another case. And you have a case. I mean, yours is very... I mean, I guess they're all different. They're all interesting. But this has been going on quite a long time with you, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Since I was 5 years old, at least.
Okay. So we're going to start really right there. I mean, your whole background in movies, did you find it? I mean, have you been taken and abducted many times throughout the years?
I figured 2 to 3 times a year since age 5 up until 1999, yeah. Some years more, some years less.
Okay. And do you find it hard when you are taken and going into another dimension, going into another reality, and then all of a sudden you're put back in the same place that you were taken, obviously, and you've seen things that the technology is through the roof compared to where we live now? Is it hard for you to adjust and come back?
It was initially, but I sort of got used to that. And sometimes I was not always brought back to where I started from.
In what?
Sometimes I ended up somewhere else.
You mean like they pick you up at your house and drop you off at a school? I mean, something like that?
Well, the most obvious one was my way out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, driving across country. My car and I were taken off Interstate 40 at mile marker 205 and carried 200 miles down the road and dropped back on the freeway in motion. So I had the 200-mile journey with my car in the air.
Wow. And how much missing time?
I figured 2 hours.
2 hours missing time.
Yeah.
And 200 miles, you couldn't have drove that 200 miles in 2 hours.
Oh, no.
I mean, at least not at the normal speed limit.
No.
So did that freak you out, Jesse?
Well, it, of course.
Were you alone?
I was alone. Especially when I was landing back on the freeway, I hit so hard. Both low beams stopped working, the wipers stopped working, the heater wouldn't work, and the whole electrical system of the car sort of messed up.
Huh. And what about, so you hit so hard, but the tires were good.
Yeah, the tires were still rolling, I guess.
You didn't bend the rims?
No, I didn't hit that hard.
Okay. So it was like a big speed bump.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, when I was taken up, it was during a rainstorm, and when I landed, it was clear.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, so let's start from square one. 5 years old,
sure.
You're saying. So 5 years old. Now, before we go into that, your daddy and your mom, any background in military?
Well, my mom was not in the military other than dad. He served in World War II and was a sergeant.
Okay. In the Army?
Army.
Okay.
Yes.
Was he a lifer, or did he just serve for a little while and get out and do things?
He served during the war and got out in 45, after the war ended, yeah.
Okay. And then just did other things?
Right.
Okay. How about any government, working for the government, anything like that? Any kind of ties to that or no?
In a sense.
Okay.
Tennessee Valley Authority. He worked for the Tennessee Valley Authority up until he retired.
Okay.
Which, and that was always considered a government job as far as school was concerned.
Okay.
Whenever they asked for government kids, we had to say yes because he worked for TVA.
Okay. Okay. So, but it wasn't like a major, it's not like working for Bechtel or Lockheed Martin or something like that or GE?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so.
You know, they were just damming up the rivers in Tennessee and Alabama to make hydroelectric plants for electricity.
Okay. So, we'll start at when you were 5 years old, but let me ask you this before we go into it. Do you have any idea why they chose you?
For many, many years, I did not. And I finally realized in November of 1999, I realized what was going on.
Okay.
What had been going on.
Okay. Tell me, what had been going on? Are you an experiment? Is this tied in with something deeper than extraterrestrial? Is this government orientated or black ops, or is this purely an abduction case?
Well, since I was about 12, they were showing me hybrid children and saying that they were mine.
Okay.
And over the course of most of my abductions, I was shown new children each time. And then finally in 1999, one of my children died.
One of your children? One of your current children?
The hybrid children.
Oh, one of the hybrid children? Okay.
And they came for me and took me to an open-air theater where I had to perform a ceremony with the dead child who was then taken up into a craft and carried off. All in front of other UFO abductees and their captors who were in the audience.
Wow. That doesn't sound very fun.
No.
We'll go into that. I want to start at 5 years old. Were you taken, in your opinion, you wanted to be taken, or was it against your will?
It was against my will at first, yes.
Okay.
But it was against my will always.
Okay.
I would fight always.
And at five, what was it like? I mean, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. What was it like? Was it scary?
Very fortunately, I also have a witness who went with me that first time.
Really? So you had another child that was with you?
My brother, Johnny.
Okay. So your brother, Johnny. How old was Johnny?
17 months younger.
Wow. Does he remember?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he remembers it too.
Okay. So what do they do, Jesse, at 5 years old? I mean, that's just a child. What is their deal? What do you remember off that first abduction?
Well, we were playing in the sand yard, in the sandbox in our backyard, and a strange man appeared on the hill behind us, and telepathically in my mind, I knew I had to go up on the hill.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go alone, so I took John by the hand and led him up the hill with me.
Okay.
And as we approached a downed craft, we were zapped with a light. It paralyzed us, and we were taken aboard and separated. John got to go into a room and sort of play games, and I was taken into a room and underwent medical procedures in which a object was embedded in my left leg.
Okay. And was that like a chip?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was
in my leg 34 years.
So is it out now?
Yeah, I had it removed in 1989.
Okay. And who removed it, if you don't mind me asking?
It was a doctor in Glendale, California. I don't know his name to this day because I didn't want to know his name because apparently he could have gotten in trouble.
Okay. Did he know
at that time?
Did he know that it was extraterrestrial, or did he think it was just some kind of something?
He just thought it was something in my leg. that we wanted out. We didn't actually tell him what we thought.
Okay. And so they took it out. Did he find weird things with this? Did he say it was a very interesting procedure, or did he think it was just normal?
It was interesting in a few respects. He had to give me the maximum amount of local deadening agent, and I still felt every cut as he was digging it out.
Wow.
It had encompassed itself. I don't know if that's the right word. It had grown to my own body, so that it was never rejected. It was as if it were part of my body.
Okay.
So he had a really difficult time cutting it out.
All right, let me
solve that, Dr. Nose.
All right, let me stop you there, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Hi folks, Ronnie McMullen here for StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Some quick questions. Do you know what is in the water you are drinking? Do you care? Have you considered the quality of water for your plants and animals? Do you believe water is important to your life? If your water could be changed into healthy water inexpensively, would you consider changing? If so, log on to StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Once again, StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Learn, investigate, and act. Watch the informational short videos on the website. Water is most important. Structured water is beneficial. And learn how structured water can benefit you. Log on to StructuredWaterTechnologies.com.
Carl Sagan once wrote that the questioning mind needs to be instilled with both skepticism and wonder, for the universe is a pretty big place, filled with undelved mysteries, sciences, and life that we've barely begun to comprehend. Every month, Intrepid Magazine brings you both the wondrous and the skeptical. Intrepid Magazine focuses on science, metaphysics, UFOs, politics, conspiracies, and unexplained phenomena, all offered up by Intrepid's cadre of writers and contributors, comprised of a host of seasoned authors, pundits, and recognized names in their fields. The universe is indeed a big place, and where other magazines leave off, Intrepid Mag is just beginning. Subscribe to Intrepid Magazine today at www.intrepidmag.com. That's www.intrepidmag.com.
Welcome back to the show. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live. And of course, my guest is Jesse Long Jr. Jesse, you know, sorry I had to interrupt you there, but they were basically this thing, this whatever growth inside of your leg that was, you believe that was put in you many years ago, correct?
Correct, when I was five.
Like embedded into you. And this thing had connected itself to your body as if it was a piece of your body?
Yes, otherwise my body would have rejected it.
Okay. So it's almost like they were cutting off your leg kind of idea, even though it was something very, very small.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like just a very small sliver of glass.
Does it hurt today?
It's still a little painful where the surgery was, but it doesn't hurt like it used to.
And how long ago was the surgery?
1989.
89, and it still hurts today.
Yeah. Surgery mark does, yeah.
Wow.
And I think that's just memory pain from, you know, 34 years of pain.
Okay. So you think it's something having to do with your psyche?
No, it's just a physical thing. You if you've ever had a surgery anywhere and left a scar, scars can be tenders.
Okay.
You know, the rest of your life.
Okay. So let's go back to 5 years old. So your brother and you are taken, and your brother put in a room to play games, and they start doing procedures on you. Now, they embedded this chip in you that day?
Yes.
What else did they do?
They did like what I would consider to be like an X-ray exam.
Did they poke?
You know, they took blood sample.
Okay.
Just like a like going to a doctor's office for the first time where they do your physical.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Okay, so they did all this. Did it hurt?
Hurt?
Yeah,
I didn't actually feel the object go in my leg. The hurt was really the fear.
What'd they look like?
Well, the little grays were the ones that captured me and were doing the medical procedures under the instructions of the tall white being.
Okay.
Which is a tall, pale-looking alien.
Is
he was the one in charge.
Does it have little eyes?
The tall white being is very human. Very tall, very skinny. Very human.
Really? So normal, more like normal eyes?
Yeah, more like human eyes.
Hair?
Wispy grayish white.
Okay. And the grays are small eyes, big eyes?
Big, large eyes. They are the typical gray alien that, you know, most people draw.
Okay.
Big eyes, big head, little bodies, little hands.
Now, when you were going up the hill and taking your brother and you somehow telepathically knew to go see them, when you got into a distance where you could kind of see that they weren't normal human beings, didn't you want to run away?
Well, I didn't know that until I was in the craft.
Okay.
We only saw one who was standing outside the craft who looked like he was standing guard.
Was it a gray or was it a human type?
He was, I would say he was closer to a gray.
Didn't that scare you to want to run away?
What? No.
No.
He looked like a man through our eyes. Maybe they were projecting that image on us.
Okay.
It was a man standing.
Okay. Okay.
But he lowered a weapon-like thing at us and zapped us with a light. We were paralyzed.
And then the next thing you know, you're in the ship.
Correct.
So they're doing these medical procedures, and you have no mom, no dad, you know, brothers somewhere else. What did it feel like, Jesse?
It was frightening.
I mean, was it so frightening that you were almost sick?
I'm sorry?
I said, was it so frightening that you were almost sick?
No. No, I was just scared to death because I didn't know where I was, what these things were doing, and why they were doing them to me.
Okay. Did they strip you, or did they keep you clothed, or?
That's something I have never been able to actually pin down. I don't know if I still had clothes on or not. I would assume they took them off.
Okay.
Because I only had on a pair of shorts. It was during the summer. But being paralyzed and laying on the table, there's no way I could look down at my body to see if I was wearing clothes or not.
So you couldn't feel if you were naked or not?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, I was paralyzed. I couldn't feel much of anything. I could see what was going on, but I couldn't feel much.
Were you thinking about your brother at all? Were you, you know, scared for your brother?
Yeah, I was wondering where he was and what they were doing to him, if he was going through the exact same thing that I was going through.
Did they share with you any of that?
No, other than the tall white being kept saying, you know, he's okay, you're okay, calm down, don't worry, we're not here to hurt you, that kind of stuff.
Was it comforting, or was it more mechanical?
Both.
Okay.
Very mechanical, doctor-oriented, kind of, just here's information.
Okay. Any female? Or were they male or female?
Oh, he's a male.
Okay.
The tall white being is a male. The workers, the grays, you can't tell what they are.
Okay, so they're just something... whatever. So, did you see your brother before you left the ship?
No.
No.
And the next thing we know, we wake up in the sandbox.
You wake up in the sandbox. Now, when you woke up in the sandbox, did you have your shorts on?
Yes.
Were they on the right side? Were they inside out? Were they totally normal?
As far as I recall, they were normal.
How about your brother?
Yeah, him too.
Now, what did you say to your brother when you were done with this incident?
Well, we didn't say anything to each other because before they put us back, they told us not ever to talk about this to anyone, our parents, or each other.
Now, question, Jesse, does that seem odd to you?
Of course.
No, I mean, does it seem odd to you that they would say don't say anything?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does. And afterwards it did. But
well, here's where I'm going with that, and maybe you can agree or disagree. But if they're telling you, you know, don't tell anybody, I mean, here's a species that is far advanced over what we are. They talk to us telepathically. They take you. They zap you. They paralyze you. But don't tell anybody. I mean, what do they care?
Right.
It seems like an odd statement.
Well, you know, I've never been able to figure out why they do anything anyway. So I don't know what the reasoning behind that is.
Okay, so at 5 years old, Jesse, did they do anything sexual to you that you remember?
Not at five, no.
Five, no. Okay. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with my guest, Jesse Long Jr., right after these messages.
If you would like to make contact with the host, email Ronnie at ufoshow@msn.com and make contact.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here for the famous Life Change Tea. Well, it's not totally famous yet, but it will be. I think the Hollywood celebrities are having their servants order. That's great. Life Change Tea, the super strength, is the star of the show. But I will let you in on a secret. The Life Change Tea website has many other health-orientated products to help you with becoming truly healthy. We have sea vegetables, fat burners, Join Aid, and now our new product, the Bionic Band, which helps with guarding you from EMF, electromagnetic field pulses, that bog you down. Guard from computers, cell phones, and satellites. So even though the star of our show is the Super Strength Life Change Tea, browse through our website for all the weapons to help fight sickness. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. That's GetTheTea.com. And by the way, tell them Ronnie sent you.
Sticky.
Welcome to The Other Side. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live. I'm Ronnie McMullen, your host, and of course, my guest is Jesse H. Long, Jr. Jesse, you know, when we're talking about being taken, let me ask you this. During the many abductions that you've gone through since 5 years old, have you been to any military installations? Have you seen any military anything?
Yes.
Okay. You have. And is this, would you say, out of all the abductions, and, you know, we're not, exact numbers are not important here, but roughly, like, would you say 10% of the time, 20, 50, what kind of percentage do you say there's something military, a military personnel, a military, you know, jet, whatever, anything at all that you say, what's the percentage that you see something military in your nightmares, abductions, whatever you want to call them?
One time.
Just one time?
Whatever percentage that is, yeah.
Okay, one time. And that one time, what did you see?
I was taken to an underground facility.
Okay.
Where there were aliens working alongside military people who were just in khakis.
Okay.
And I wondered why the humans wouldn't help me while I was being rolled down a hallway on a gurney.
Okay.
The facility I went to when I was taken in, we went to an elevator and went down 7 stories because I looked as they pushed the button and it was 7 and we went down.
Okay.
And when we got to where we were going, there was a, I guess like a lobby.
All right.
With a desk and an artificial potted plant and people walking around and strange piece of artwork. And then they pushed me down a hallway.
So they had a piece of artwork in this military installation.
Well, it was not what you would think when I say artwork. It's not. It was a strange sculptural thing.
Okay. Was it a creature?
It could have been, but it... No, I really would say it's more like just a sculptural piece of art.
Okay. Okay.
Because it was stationary and static, but it just very modernistic issue.
Okay.
Want to call it that.
Okay.
And then they took me down the hallway and into a room and did some more of their typical stuff, always since at least age 9, you know, taking a sperm sample and things like that.
How did that make you feel first time?
Oh, God, it was horrible, horrific. I didn't know what they were doing. I mean, I was first time at 9 years old, didn't know anything about sex or anything, and couldn't figure out why they were doing what they were doing.
Did they ever, during the abductions, have you mate with anything that was, we'll call, alien?
Yes. One time. I was working on a movie in Peachtree City, Georgia. I was working on the movie Pet Sematary Part 2. They abducted me, and during that abduction, they were forcing me to crossbreed with what I call a dark Somalia-looking woman, very dark skin, skin and bones. They laid her on top of me and were forcing me to mate with her, and it was so frightening to me. I managed to break my paralysis and push her off of me, and she grabbed for me and clawed me and left 3 claw marks on my left arm, which I took photos of.
Now, do you still have scars from those 3 claw marks?
No.
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 Okay.
But I do.
So she clawed you. Was she human or was she something else?
She was not human. I think she herself was a hybrid.
Okay.
Honestly, she looked like a starving Somalia woman. You know, the big head, almost no meat on her at all, just skin over bone. And at first, I thought this thing must not even be real, because they physically had to place her on top of me, but when I pushed her off, she was real because she grabbed for me.
And she wasn't happy.
Well, I don't know if she was happy or not. She may have just been frightened that I actually
pushed her.
Got the strength to push her off.
So you were kind of paralyzed before you broke through that.
Oh, yeah, but it was so traumatic to me for that to be happening because it had never happened before that I didn't want it to happen, and I just broke as free as I could and pushed her.
Now, were you married at the time, Jesse?
No, I've never been married.
You've never been married?
No.
Okay. Is that because of what's happened to you over your life?
Part of it.
Okay. Is it hard for you to trust human beings?
Certain people, yeah. Yeah. Some people, most people I don't trust. Very few people I do trust.
Okay. And do you feel that the government, and government's really such a loose term, but we're going to use that, you know, and when I say government, I'm not talking about Barack Obama or anything like that. I'm just talking about something military-based, something governmental-based. Do you think they're, black ops, whatever, MK, doesn't matter. Do you think there is something like that involved in this, or do you think you're a straight abduction case?
I think there's something behind it, that they're behind it somehow, and I think it's just that they are working with the aliens, gaining their technology, you know, to back create it. And because, think about it, since the 50s, we've advanced very rapidly, very quickly.
Yes, agreed.
And some of this couldn't have been just from a human's mind. Someone
exactly.
has to influence us.
Do you feel that, let me ask, let's back up. Do you feel during your abductions, how many of the abduction cases in percentage, and again, this is just rough, would you say they did sexual things to you?
Well, every one of them since I was at least 9.
Okay, so every single one since you were 9.
Between 5 and 9, those 4 years, I don't recall any.
Okay.
But every one between 9 and...
And now?
How it walked by in 99. Yeah.
Has had some kind of... So, with all the sexual stuff going on, you could either say these beings are very sexual, but really maybe something different. Maybe they are after creating a hybrid. Would you say that that is their main goal, or do you feel there's another goal?
Well, with me, I think their main goal is creating hybrid children.
Okay. How did you feel about the hybrid child that they said was yours that died? How did that make you feel?
Oh, it was devastating.
I mean,
I was in, you know, on my knees crying, screaming that this child has died. And what made it even worse is all my other children were on the stage with me, and they had to encircle me to calm me down.
So you have met your children?
I've met all of them.
And are they growing up like a human being, or are they something else?
No, some of them are grown. Some of them are still, you know, relatively newborns when I met them. The oldest one is female. I call her Elle for lack of a different name, and she's the one who takes care of all of them for me.
Okay. And she's your daughter, hybrid, whatever.
She's the oldest. She was the first, yeah.
How old is she?
Well, let's see. I would have been roughly 10. So in human years, she would be, right now, she would be about 51. But I don't think we can apply human age to them.
No. So does she have feelings?
She must have motherly feelings since she's taking care of the other children. And all of my children, I do get a sense that they know who I am.
Yeah.
And that they care for me and are concerned with my feelings. I've not had any sit-down conversations with them to find out. So
any emotion?
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Not with you, with them.
With me?
No, not with you.
Oh, yeah.
With them.
No, with them. That's hard to say. One of the babies, in fact, the one that I was shown when my car and I were taking off the freeway, he was the only one that cried when they handed him to me to hold, and I didn't know what to do because none of the other babies had ever cried, and I didn't know. So I was crying, and they were, you know, the baby was crying, and they calmed us down. And in fact, some of the other children were in the room, and they touched me to say, you know, it's okay, it's okay.
Was there a female involved in this, or was it just like test tube baby?
You know, I don't know what they did with my sperm after they extracted it. I don't know if they used a human embryo. I don't know if they used an alien embryo. I would say it had to be alien because the babies are a mixture.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if they even went into an alien or if they just went into some kind of test tube. Who knows what? We don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, that one time with that Black Somalia woman was the first time I recall it being a up close and personal kind of situation. Everything else was cool. They took it, they put it in a jar, and went out the room with it.
So do these children of yours, do they work up there? Do they do something? I mean, what is the purpose of them creating a new creation, a new...
civilization.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I say now that I have fathered a new civilization of children for them. I don't know what they do there. Whatever aliens do, where they are.
Are they in a ship, or do they have a place, an actual planet, or an app, some place to call home, what we call home? Do they have that, or do you not know?
As far as I know, they are all together. I will have to say, I've never been into outer space. I've never been to another planet. All of my abductions, I seem to be taken to underground facilities, cave-like surroundings.
Underground facilities in this Earth?
Yes.
Okay. But you've only seen military personnel or military anything one time.
Correct.
What about jeeps, tanks, jets, nothing like that?
No.
Just inside
what I assumed was a craft. It could have just been a room in a building somewhere.
Okay. Any idea where the 7-level building, underground base, whatever we want to call it, any idea where it was?
Well, I described it to an Army friend of mine. He said, oh, yeah, that's up in Tehachapi.
In Tehachapi?
Yeah, California.
How would he know?
He was military.
He was military and he's been in that underground base?
He wouldn't admit that he had been there.
Okay.
He just knew exactly what I was describing.
Okay. And was he high-level ranking military officer?
How high ranking is general.
Okay. Good. So then we definitely know that the military is involved.
At least in that one, yes.
Okay. And is that the one that you saw something with the khakis, or was it a different time?
Oh, that's where the military men were in the khakis. Brown.
Do the, and this is just, you may not know this, but to Tehachapi, outside Tehachapi, there's a lot of wind generators.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Just wondered if you knew, do they need a lot of power underground? Then do they need it to come from somewhere?
Oh, I'm sure they must. Yeah, you would need lights and...
Did you see did you see a lot of generators? A lot of noises with generators for their power?
No, very quiet.
Very quiet.
Really quiet.
So maybe they're powered by wind turbines.
Yeah, or nuclear.
You might have to ask your general friend and see if that's true.
Well, unfortunately, he passed away.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yep.
We're gonna take a break and come back more with Jesse Long. His website is www.jessehlong.com. That's www.jessehlong.com. Got some more stuff for you, Jesse, so don't go away. Be right back. We'll be right back. Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here for Life Change Tea. Many people try Life Change Tea and experience the many health benefits with drinking our tea. But then they stop. It's almost as if a one-month supply will cleanse their body forever. Not true. You must drink Life Change Tea every month to cleanse from toxins, parasites, chemicals, and more. Just imagine taking your car to the car wash once and thinking it's clean forever. Not so. And it's the same with your body. If you want a clean system, invest in yourself. Drink Life Change Tea and feel the difference. Call us now at 928-308-0408. Live in the now, 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to the website at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. If you're desiring a change in your life and care about your health, drink Life Change Tea and achieve greatness. Log on to getthetea.com. Welcome back. We are on the other side with my guest, Jesse Long. His website, www.jessehlong.com. Very interesting website. Lots more information there. We're just covering the tip of the iceberg. Jesse, when we go back to this abduction, and we talked a little bit off air, and I would like to bring this up. One of your questions to me is, why does always somebody ask me that when I am abducted, do I have my clothes on or off? Why is that so important? What's the big deal? And I brought to you a path to say, okay, well, if a normal person was to take their clothes off in the grocery store and they were forced to, or somebody stripped them, how would they feel? And we come up with the words, you know, they would be embarrassed, they would be humiliated. And this is something that I want the listener to know, that these people that are taken, and again, I asked you earlier, against your will, you're taken and now possibly humiliated. And we're not even talking about the trauma that goes on when you're 5 years old or six or seven, taken against your will, no mommy, daddy, taken to something that you're looking at something that you don't even know. You don't see anything like that on the earth. What kind of trauma? See, and this is, I think a lot of abductees say, why did they choose me? Have you ever thought that, Jesse?
Always.
Well, I'm going to throw something your way. It may not stick, but we'll throw it against the wall and see. Maybe there's something in your psyche, there's something in your willpower, that the reason they chose you is because not every child could be taken and still live to tell about it. In other words, they could have had a heart attack from fear, they could have broke down mentally, whatever, and you have seemed to keep your wits about you and continue your life, even though you were traumatized and majorly traumatized at 5 years old and on.
Yeah, I don't know how I've managed to live as long as I have.
I mean, does that make sense to you?
Of course.
Have you ever been suicidal?
No.
So here you've been taken against your will and had some kind of being, some kind of something, big-eyed, big-head, little 3-foot whatever, and you've seen these things, and they have these incredible powers. They talk to you telepathically. They disobey every law of this earth, and you're totally fine and running fine. No suicide, no mental problems, no nothing. Maybe that's why they picked you, Jesse.
Yeah, strong-willed and capable of dealing with it.
Exactly. Now, that's not to say that your life hasn't changed because of it or had some kind of trauma in your life. Obviously, you know, this has not been a fun thing for you.
Right.
But obviously, your spirit is strong enough to take it.
Yeah.
Maybe this.
Yeah, that's what my parents always would tell me. There's nothing you can't handle if you want to handle it.
Well, maybe these abductees that have been taken, instead of everybody seeing them as weird and whack and all these stupid humanistic crap fear things that we throw at people, maybe the truth is you guys are heroes.
Wow, I never thought of it that way.
Maybe you guys are the heroes that said, look, we went to another dimension. We broke through. We didn't lose our minds about it. We let you joke and throw your puns to us, but we did it. Maybe you guys are heroes.
Yeah, I've always told some of my friends I'd like to see you go through this, because you'd be kicking and screaming trying to get out of there.
Let's talk.
It wouldn't last a minute.
Yeah, let's talk about this. When you were taken, at any point, did you ever have other human beings in the room, in the operating table, whatever they do to you? Were there ever other humans?
Yes.
Did you ever hear anybody scream when you were on the table, worked on, what have you?
One gentleman I recall screaming. I knew him really well.
You knew him. Okay.
Yeah, he was a member of our support group in L.A.
Okay. He screamed?
Yeah, because they were doing to him what they'd done to me.
You know, as they say, did it make your blood curdle?
It upset me, yeah.
And was he a friend of yours?
Yes, still is.
Still is. Has anybody ever heard you scream?
If they have, they've not reported it.
Have you ever screamed?
Oh, I'm sure I have. At least I know I'm screaming in my head, coming out through my mouth.
And the reason I do this, Jesse, is not to, you know, some people might say, oh, Ronnie, you're on sensationalism. And I'm really not. I'm on reality. I'm on what people don't want to talk about. You ever notice that the human doesn't always want to talk about everything, especially when it goes into a dark closet? They don't want to discuss that.
Right.
So maybe we need to discuss what the hero goes through. Maybe we need to discuss that you've crossed, you've gone to another place, and we haven't. What right do we have to throw stones?
Yeah, hey, that's a good one. I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah, you haven't been there, so how do you know?
Exactly. And I like to paint the picture as real. We don't need sensationalism because sensationalism is still humanistic. What we're talking about is something that is another dimension, something that is crossed over, something in another reality. And these things are real. People say, oh, no, it's not real. Well, then how come you have marks or radiation?
Exactly.
Nosebleeds. Have you noticed that your body has had hard time because you cross over?
Yes, especially since the implant was removed.
Yeah.
As a child, I had none of the major childhood illnesses. I've never had the mumps, and rarely got a cold or anything because they were keeping me healthy with inoculations and that sort of thing. Once the implant was out, I got high blood pressure, thyroid problems, high cholesterol. Just in the last, in 2012, I had two small strokes. Now I have AFib. I mean, that thing seemed to have been keeping me healthy all these years, and now I'm just going downhill quickly. Mm. It's been out.
How old are you, Jesse, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I'll be 62 Christmas Eve.
So you think since they've taken this chip out of you that chip is maybe connected to you like a protection system?
Yeah, it was analyzed at the Southwest Research Institute in, I want to say, San Antonio. It must have been off Texas. And it was manufactured. It was made at temperatures of about 5,000 degrees, basically a silicon chip. Can modulate radio frequencies. It looks like there's a soundtrack down one side. There's a pyramid on the tip.
Was it made on Earth?
It was. All they could say was it was manufactured.
But they didn't
what it was.
They didn't tell you whether it was here or somewhere else?
No. I mean, all the elements of it are here on Earth. But, of course, elements on Earth came from outer space anyway.
Yeah.
So if elements on Earth are in outer space, too. But they compared it to every known formula for glass. It didn't match any of that. During the process, they actually pushed too far down on the microscope, and it broke it into two pieces.
Wow.
Which they thought I would be very upset about, but it gave them a chance to look at the inside. And it was like, they call it an M&M. It had a hard, crusty shell, and at one time, the interior was alive.
Wow. So like a microorganism.
Yeah. Well, that's how it was able to attach itself to my body. Use my body for sustenance, and that's why it just incorporated itself to make it appear to be part of my body. That's why my body didn't reject it, because it will reject it. You know, you get a thorn.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'll push it out. Our body likes to heal itself. So they knew some kind of something to make the body say, ooh, I like this.
Yes, exactly.
Do you find that when you had the chip, obviously, you're talking about your health was much better when you had the chip. Did you feel like you had, and I don't want to say superpowers because that really sounds stupid and corny, but I'm saying, did you feel like you had an upper edge thinking in your creativity, in any kind of things like that? It may be in your health, meaning not just better health, but maybe stronger, more stamina. Any difference that way did you find or no?
Well, only in hindsight do I realize, yes, that's true. At the time, I don't think I knew the difference. But once it was out and I started my downhill plunge here, I realized, yes, I was in California making movies, you know, very energetic, could do anything, lift anything. I mean, I lifted one end of a piano by myself once to help move it. There were four guys on the other end. I mean, I couldn't do that today.
Right. So you did have more, we'll call it oomph.
Yeah.
And you didn't realize it, but as soon as the chip was removed, that oomph was taken from you.
Yes.
More ways than one. Okay. What about your thinking? You know, did you have more creativity? Did you have more mathematically stronger? I mean, anything like that when you had the chip?
Well, all I can say is I've always been psychic, even before and after the chip. You know, I predicted a lot of things that have come true, and I have some predictions that I hope never come true.
Is this is the prediction because they've shown you something, or is this prediction like you just know it's going to happen?
I just know it's going to happen. I mean, I was sitting in front of my television set back, let's see, about in 1990, 9 at some point and said to my roommate at the time, I said, oh my goodness. And he said, what happened? I said, I just saw planes flying to the World Trade Center. I said, they were coming from over the water, but not from overseas. And he said, well, when do you think this is going to happen? And I said, well, it's going to happen in September 2001, around the 11th.
Wow. That's pretty on target.
So yeah, and I called several friends of mine at the time and told them. So when it did happen, my friends immediately got on the phone and called me and said, Jess, you predicted this. I said, I know. What can I do about it? No matter who I told of importance, they would not have believed me and would not have prevented
well,
it.
Well, in a way, you might be lucky, because if you would have told certain authorities that, they might try to tie you into you were a part of it.
Exactly.
So maybe it was lucky that it didn't go into a bigger level so that you wouldn't do prison time, because they didn't care who they threw in prison.
Obviously.
They just needed somebody to cover their backwoods things that they were doing. So, you know, if they could find somebody like you, hey, yeah, it's this guy. So maybe you were being protected in a way.
Yeah, let's hope. Well, I hope I still am.
Do you still have predictions?
Yes.
Give me one, if you don't mind.
Unfortunately, I don't like to do that.
Okay.
What I do is I write my predictions down on my computer.
Okay.
With the date and time on the computer, and I sign them. I put one in an envelope, stamp it, mail it back to myself. I go to the post office, have them hand cancel it, mail it back to me. That one never gets opened, and then I have a copy of my own, and that way I have proof that I predicted before the thing happened.
Okay, and you've done this since that 9/11 deal because you want to make sure that this is the real deal.
Yeah. Right now, I think I'm on prediction 106 or 7, something like that. It's over 100.
Okay, and how many have come true?
Most.
Most. What is that, 90%?
Let's just be conservative and say 75%.
So, Jesse, if you were going to talk to the public and you were going to talk to them about your abductions and they're all looking at you with eyes like, you know, really paying attention, would you think this is good for people or would you say stay away from this?
Oh, my goodness.
You have thousands and thousands and thousands of people. No one's disrupting. Eyes are on you. Would you say, this is great, you should be a part of it, or would you say, stay away from it?
I guess I would have to say stay away from it.
Okay.
And stay away from it because listen to my story and you'll agree that you should stay away.
Because it's not a good thing, is it?
Well, no, not to be taken against your will and forced to undergo these procedures against your will, no.
How many, Jesse, are people that have never been taken, never been abducted, and they understand you and they can listen and you can talk to them? How many?
Probably none, because they didn't have an experience while they experienced. I mean, they can sit and listen to me and believe me or not or accept what I'm saying, but they'll never experience it the way I experienced it.
Yes. And my last question before we go, is being abducted a lonely life?
It can be.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, you've been a great guest. I appreciate you just being candid and talking the way it is. And I don't think we even touched on hardly anything, and yet it was a very deep show. So very much appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much.
Well, I ran it right up to the edge. I want to thank my guest, Jesse Long, for being on the show. Don't forget, next week, Dr. Roger Lear will be with us. Alien implants. Beware of your surroundings. And good night.
You've been listening to Roddy McMullen, your watchman of the night skies on UFO Encounters Live. If you'd like to visit us during the week, log on to www.ufoencounterslive.com and make contact.